All right, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 26, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 67, second paragraph, referring to our list again through one paragraph ending, willing to set these matters straight. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Anne Marie M. for the 12 steps, Sima M. for the 12 traditions, Craig F. reading the text, and Martha Z. reading page 164 at the closing. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 25th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,022. That's 22022. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,023, that's 22023. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps in the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Abby and everyone. This is Anne Marie M., miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives became unmanageable, had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore our sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie, for reading the 12 steps. All right, I will now ask Sima M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, this is Sima M., a grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6. An AA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Sima M., for reading the 12 traditions. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page, referring to our list again, reading through one paragraph, ending willing to set these matters straight. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading. Go ahead, Craig. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other persons involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Okay, this is an important paragraph, an important thought, so critical, foundational to this idea, this ego-reducing idea of the steps. My ego has a couple of jobs, and one of them is to defend me, to defend myself, to defend itself. And so when somebody says, you did this, my ego wants to say, yeah, but you did this. Yeah, but it wasn't my fault. I want to say, but you did worse to me. And that kept me out of recovery for a long time. I would look at that this step, this fourth step, and I would say, yeah, I know that I hurt her, but look what she did. I know that, and I'm going to put that down. Because I know a little later I'll have to make amends, and they're not going to make amends to me, so. I'm just going to ignore that one. I couldn't recover. I couldn't maintain anything like continuous abstinence. And I certainly wasn't growing like I needed to grow. And until I got to the point where I could say, I'm all in, whatever it takes, whatever I have to confess to, Doesn't matter what they did. All that matters is this. And you know, how am I can't change other people. I can't, even if the situation was 90% their fault, if it was 10% my fault, I can't change that other person. I can't make them do or be anything else. But I, you know, all I can do is confess to what I did, to my 10%. And when I do that, then I can grow. I can change. I can live with a clear conscience. I can clear the path between me and God, so that when I pray, I'm in touch, you know, so that I can stand before other people with my head up. And even though I've done things that I'm not proud of, I can still stand there with my head up and say, I'm human. I'm here. These were my faults. I'm a human being. I made mistakes. Here's what they were. I'm sorry. I'm doing better today. And what a better description of what the steps lead us to. And I think that's what leads us to the spiritual awakening, this idea that we're clearing up the path, that we're reducing our ego and our egoism, as some would say, and we are just being who we are. And today I just want to be who I am and have that reduced. And so with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Craig, thank you so much. That was Craig F., and thanks so much for getting us started today. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Harlan G.
Janice P.
Nicole S.
Did you get me, Abby?
Yep, I got Harlan G., Janice PM, Nicole S.
Maria
All right.
C.
Maria C. All right, let's start with that. You are being so nice to me today, everyone. I was prepared for battle there, so... All right, I have Harlan G. followed by Janice PM. All right, Harlan G., go right ahead.
Thank you very much, Abby, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Let's take a look at this all-important paragraph. It is the direction for column 4. We're going to use 4 columns for the resentment inventory. The first column being, who or what do we resent? The second column, why do we resent them in 19 words or less? The third column is what basic instinct or instincts are involved in this resentment. And the fourth column is putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. In other words, where had we had been at? Where were we at fault? Now, there are only 5 character defects, according to the Big Book. I know a woman asked me Sunday, she said to me, I have 171 character defects. I said, no, you have 5, and you have a lot of behaviors that emanate from these character defects. The one defect that's not listed here, selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and frightened, is anger, because it's a resentment inventory. Why list anger when it's a resentment inventory? So there's 5 of them. What did we do, and what defects were brought to the surface? Now, I do a Big Book study on Saturday mornings, and when I get to this paragraph, invariably there is many questions in the last half hour about this particular subject. What about if you have been raped or abandoned or beaten or molested or something like that? What is your part? And the answer is you don't have one. there, it just DNA does not apply. So you put down the resentment, but your part is not listed because you don't have a part in being violated like that. But we have to remember to ask ourselves a question in other resentments. Where were we to blame? And don't be too hard on ourselves is the key, but be hard enough to see where our blame is. The inventory was ours, not the other man's. And yes, I can hold on to resentments and I can fool myself through ego-driven denial that I have no part, but I have to look at things objectively because I have to ask myself a question. Is this the hill I want to die on? Because if I hold on to that resentment, it is ultimately going to kill me because resentment is the number one offender. So I have to be fearless and thorough, not perfect, but fearless and thorough. Craig did a great job with his first reading. We look at these things. We place them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we're willing to set these matters straight. We're not making any amends in step four. That's in step nine. But what we're going to do is objectively list these resentments. What did they do to us? What basic instincts? And then in the fourth column, we're going to list our part in things objectively. What character defects caused us to take or omit this harmful action? Thank you, Abby, for your service. I'm so glad to be here this morning. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Harlan G. from Arizona. I appreciate that. Next up, we have Janice PM. Just let us know where you're calling from, followed by Nicole S. Thanks so much, Janice. Go ahead.
And thank you, Abby, for all your service. And my name is Janice PM, and I live in Medford, Massachusetts, a city outside of Boston. And oh boy, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And oh, the two shares. I mean, you know, okay, I crossed off what I was going to say because I heard it so eloquently with the previous ones. So, yeah, putting out our minds. Well, you know, the first three steps when I did this, oh, it was all focusing on them, on it, on the situation and what they did. Blame, blame, blame. That was the first three steps. And finally, and this took me a long time, not to do my inventory, but to get some results. But this is where it's going to start. Like Holland said, in column four, instead of focusing, instead of having my mind just filled with what they did and what they should have done and what they didn't do, and I'm going to kind of, it's just going to come as long as I start with the willingness that, yeah, someday, maybe, I don't know what I did wrong, you know, sometimes I was completely blocked, but as soon as the progress of my recovery started, I became willing, and let me tell you, I've had a resentment against a very close cousin for years, always seeing what she did wrong to me, but never seeing my part. But until I got willing to look at myself, but I couldn't because I didn't see my part or whatever. But, you know, it took a long time. But I said, someday, and of course I was taught with resentments, you know, and I did my amends because, you know, now I'm in a different stage of my development. Sometimes you can't make all the resentments, the amends right away. And, of course, this is the only place that I have done. Plus other steps, I will grow to see myself more. And I'm here to announce that yesterday and the night before, I'm willing to make this amends, but what I'm kind of equate, you know, how this happened after many years, I kept having such a hard heart against this person that it became like I didn't speak to her for 3 years, but it came. I started to see my part more and more by going to the meetings, by asking my higher power to show me my part. But this is where it starts. This is where we start
That's
to see
kind,
a
pattern.
Yes, and thank you so much. And those amends were made yesterday. What a freedom for me. Oh, my God, I had the best holiday. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. All right. Next up, we have Nicole S., followed by Maria C. Nicole S., let us know where you're calling from. Thanks.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you, Abby, for your service. And when this says we resolutely, we're putting out of our minds the wrongs others have done, and we resolutely look for our own mistakes, resolute is, you know, marked by firm determination. So for me, that takes a lot of honesty, looking at my own mistakes. You know, and later it says the inventory was ours, not the other man's. And someone told me a long time ago that, you know, my self being like a house that a tornado may have ran through it and kind of, you know, done a lot of damage. And it wasn't my fault that the tornado, you know, did the damage, but the damage is still mine. And it's my responsibility to look at, you know, I need to fix it. And so, you know, I'm putting out, even if someone else had been at fault many times for me, it's they haven't been. It's been my misperceived, you know, ideas about what they did. But, you know, sometimes it is, you know, there was a fault there, but I've got to put that out of my head because the damage is mine and it's my responsibility. And my selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear have really gotten the ball rolling, and they've made it worse. They've made that relationship worse. They've made the damage that's already been done worse, and they keep me from you know, getting better. And, you know, if I don't change, nothing changes. And I had a situation last spring where I was so caught up in fear that I just did not see, you know, the situation for what it was. And I know fear can just completely block me from realistically, you know, objectively, rationally looking at situations. In that last part, we admitted our wrongs honestly, and we're willing to set these matters straight. And I just love the wording of the big book, you know, just really, really powerful words, you know, like the resolutely and then honestly and willing, you know, admitted. And that just takes a lot of honesty for me. I really need to look at this situation. And I'm so grateful we have fellowship, you know, I had a sponsor to help me through my inventory and to really, you know, be honest and be willing. And that takes a lot. But, you know, thank you for this fellowship and above all for God who I can seek in all of this, and who gives me wisdom and helps me and gives me the strength to be honest and willing. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Next up, we have Maria C. Maria C., go right ahead. Let us know where you're calling from. Maria, press star 1 to unmute.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, thank you. Well, it usually is. Sorry?
I could. Okay, now I can. All right, I thought I lost you, but go ahead.
That's okay. No, that's okay. Thank you. Maria C. in California, in North Carolina today, but in California on the website. I just want to say good morning, everybody. Really appreciated all the shares that have come before me. And I think what I really appreciated were these concepts coming up of the fact that this is, you know, an objective inventory for columns 1, 2, and 3. And so it's also objective for 4. And, you know, somebody at one point was like, don't beat yourself up, but look for your part. And I want to echo that I needed to look at my part desperately in order to stay alive. But my instinct, for some reason, I don't know why, when I see that I've done something wrong, is to beat myself up about it, to just absolutely make myself feel terrible about what I did in column four. It's like I'm either blaming the other person entirely or I'm only blaming myself in this incredibly punishing way. And so I recently did a new step four. A couple old things came up when we got to this step in this big book study. I was like, ooh, there's a couple things. And, you know, what I have to remember now is my higher power. You know, at this point in step four, and this point as I continue to work all the steps every day, I made a conception of my higher power made a beginning, and my higher power loves me in a way I could never love myself. And I have to remind myself, my higher power wants me to be kind to everybody and wants me to be honest and column four about my part. But my higher power also isn't here to punish me. So if my higher power doesn't think that's a good idea, why should I think it's a good idea? You know, just remaining objective, I think, and being loving to yourself, because I'll be mean to myself if I forget my higher power and I'm left to my own devices. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Maria C. from California. Thanks for sharing. All right. We're going to take another lineup. Let me just let you know where we're calling. Where we're reading today. We're reading from page 67 in the second paragraph, starting referring to our list again, reading through one paragraph, ending willing to set these matters straight. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Jackie M.
Sarah G. from New Jersey.
Okay, I got Jackie M. And then who is that second one? Something G. from New Jersey.
Sarah G.
Sarah, got you.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Okay, Robin, got you. Let's go with that. So I have Jackie M. Let us know where you're calling from, Jackie. So I have Jackie M., Sarah G. from New Jersey, and Robin P. from Costa Rica. Jackie M., go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Jackie M. from Michigan. Doing that inventory, you know, when I put my part in that, as I went down the line of defects and everything, or, you know, what I saw that the defects kept popping up in the same resentment I had, and it got to be when I got towards the end of the inventory, well, that's the same pattern. I do the same thing. I'm doing the same thing. And it was a tremendous tool for me, because now I can use that. You know, I'm still human. I'm still have that jerk in me, you know. I mean, coming out of festivities, celebrations yesterday and so forth, and the day before, you know, they recognize that because I'm human and these character defects come up, that I'm jealous, or I have to be right, or, oh, no, this is how you do it. I had the second thought where I could say, where I believe is my higher power driven thinking is, no, I don't have to be right. I don't have to say that this is the way to do it. I don't have to say that I do this way better, or because I do things this way better, or I insisted on, oh no, that's not the right way. I mean, it was such a freedom to sit. You know, when I went into the bathroom for a break, I specifically remembered, oh my gosh, what a freedom I have now that I do not have to go join in and go along with it all. Because I went through that inventory, because I see what I am, and I'm still that person, I still have those defects, but now I know I don't have to act on it. I don't have to act in the old manner. I don't have to eat myself to death. And I can just, I just can be fulfilled that I know I'm okay the way I am. And thank you. I'll pass. Thank you for your service.
All right. Thank you so much, Jackie M., my fellow Michigander. So that was Jackie M. from Michigan. And next up, we have Sarah G. from New Jersey. Go ahead, Sarah.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service and everybody's shares. I really, I'm always so inspired by it. And today, I guess God wanted me to be heard because when I pressed star one, I actually got through. I don't always, and I always take that as, you know, if God wants me to speak. So I feel grateful to be able to say something today. This is really part of my favorite part of this program is making amends, because when I do that, it really changed my whole outlook on my relationships with people. And it has given me such a freedom and a love for everybody. I remember two very different amends. I had a lot of amends to make. One amends I made, and I felt that it wasn't taken very well, but it was good for me. Like, she didn't necessarily receive it the way I would have loved her to receive it. But in the end, after months, I see that she did receive it. It wasn't immediate. And with someone else, I felt the amends was, I always thought it was all her, And when I made the amends, when I saw my part in it, she was so grateful that I did that. And my sponsor said, because I had written out a letter and I read it to her, and my sponsor said I should offer it to her if she wants to keep it. So I asked her, I said, do you want to keep this letter? And she said, yes. And our relationship has been so much better because I have changed. She didn't change so much, but I've changed, and it's made us have such a much more pleasant working relationship. She even said once when I was kind of falling out of program a little bit, she asked me, are you still doing that program? You're much easier to get along with when you do. And that was God's voice talking to me saying, you know what, I better get working really hard again. So I'm very grateful for this program and for all of you. And thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you so much. Oh, I just lost my document. Uh-oh. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm back. All right. Thank you so much. That was Sarah G. from New Jersey. And next up, we have Robin P. from Costa Rica. And then I'll go ahead and take another lineup. Go ahead, Sarah G.
Robin P. Hi, Abby. This is Robin
oh,
P.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
Sarah
okay.
Sorry, Robin, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I'm very grateful to be abstinent today and on a meeting. And thank you so much for your service, everybody, and welcome to the newcomers. I'm so grateful. I celebrated 9 years of abstinence yesterday, and I'm just so, so grateful for all of you and for this the miracle and grace of this of a vision for you. Oh, my gosh. One day at a time. You know, I'm so grateful for these steps. I came from a lot of child abuse and a lot, and you know, I have a relationship with everyone in my family today, and we have a loving relationship. All these miracles from this program, and something that really helps me too is when it has nothing to do with me, it has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be there. I'm the face that they're projecting stuff onto. And that really helped me too, because I used to take on the shame and that codependency. And it's just, it's such a blessing to go, oh, wow, that's not my stuff. You know, I recently went through something here. Sometimes it's like the wild, wild west here. And where I was in a Bible study and someone was saying very hateful things. He was acting like he was in charge of everything. And he was saying a lot of racist things. And I prayed and I stood up and just and said it was from the Bible. And it, I said it wasn't. And he just started like really, really being hateful and sending me all these hateful texts and bullying me. And I had to really work my program and do a lot of 10 steps, ask for a lot of help. And, you know, it turned out I went to a really wonderful Christmas celebration yesterday at someone's house. And there was another Bible study there for people who had a very similar experience and started a different study. So it was like, oh, wow, this wasn't about me at all. And so it just really helps me to know. And God is God of the long run sometimes. In the short run, it looks like, you know, a bomb went off or it feels so uncomfortable. I just keep working my program. And God just shows up and people act as angels. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for my abstinence and recovery and for all of you. I'm so grateful for Vision. God bless you all with a really blessed abstinence day I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin P. in Costa Rica, and congratulations on 9 years. All right. Thank you so much for all who shared. We are, I'm just going to let you know where we're reading today before I take another lineup. We are reading on page 67 in the second paragraph, starting with referring to our list again, and we read through one paragraph, ending willing to set these matters straight, and we're commenting on that one paragraph today. Although we value your experience, when I take another lineup, we just ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share today? We have time for
Ashley F.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I missed
Ashley F. in Kentucky.
Roy C.
Gail H. from Seattle, Washington.
All right. So I got Gail. All right. I have Ashley F. If you could just say your name again. I'm not sure if I got your name correct. Ashley F. in Kentucky, Roy C., and then Gail H. in Washington. Ashley, go ahead.
Good morning. Ashley F. in Kentucky, recovered compulsive overeater. And one of the things that was pointed out to me this year after being in OA for a long time is that there's nowhere in this chapter how it works where the word part is used. It's clear that we're looking for our fault. And I really struggled when that was pointed out to me to make the shift in my mind. That even in those situations, and I have some where I was, quote unquote, a victim of just really horrible things, the truth is that my fault is that for decades after that, I like to live as if the rules of being human don't apply to me. And that's a fault of mine, no matter what. Other people also have fear that leads them to flee. It leads them to fight and do horrible things and sometimes to freeze. And all of those human reactions are hurtful to other people. And I do them, but so do other people. And I have lived my life not wanting the rules of being human, not wanting the rules of getting in the sandbox to apply to me. And that's my fault, not my part. The you know, the book does use the word part in other chapters. It talks about that God is part of our makeup. It talks about that part of our recovery depends on us passing it on. It says that action is required on my part. It says that we talk about parts of our story, and that when we make our amends to such people, we've done our part when we've made our amends, and that my new attitude doesn't require any effort. And that also points to another one of my faults, which is I effort towards changing the world, and that's none of my business. So that was a fundamental shift for me that I struggle with every day. And there may well be a place in this book that I'm not aware of that does say we look at our resentments and look for our part. And if I haven't found it, by all means, call me. Call me, because I am on the path and committed to the path. But just really fundamental shift in 2024 when somebody pointed that out, and I wanted to just share it today. I'll pass. Thank you all for the gift of this life.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Ashley S. from Kentucky. Next up, we have Roy C., followed by Gail H. from Washington. Roy C., go ahead and unmute. Just let us know where you're calling from.
Yeah, hey, this is Troy C. From Florida. Shout out to Roy C. from New Jersey, though. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery, and I spent a long time in the beverage program writing a fourth step for literally years, and I was obsessed with this paragraph. I was convinced it was definitely the most important paragraph in the book. I no longer think it's the most important paragraph. I think it's very important, it was the time I spent writing in that program and in this program both showed me things that I really didn't see before I undertook this process. In what ways was I being selfish, dishonest? How was I self-seeking? What was I frightened of? I remember the first resentment I wrote about was about a girl who had dumped me, you know, the resentment being that, you know, she didn't want to date me. And I couldn't see how I was being selfish. It was totally normal to want someone to date me. And I remember my sponsor at the time saying something, you know, like, what might you not be considering here? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, what about what she wants? And that opened the door to this entire other part of the universe where there were other people with agency who had desires. And I was almost like singularly incapable holding in my mind what other people might want. And that their wants were often just as valid as mine. And it opened the door to all these possibilities, especially taken in consideration with what I'd agreed to in the third step, that I didn't need to constantly provide for me. I had a new employer that was going to provide for me so long as I stayed close to it and tried to do its work well. Then getting into dishonesty, you know, I was really convinced on first approximation that this was going to be about ways that I lied to other people and how I got caught, and those put me in a jam, and that was part of it. But the bigger part of dishonesty for me turned out to be ways I was lying to myself. And before I got into it, I simply didn't understand how I could lie to myself. And what it ended up being were countless situations where I was angry at you because I was assuming certain things to be true. You were trying to get over on me. You thought badly of me. You had, you know, ulterior motives. All these things that maybe for a normal person, it's their dubious luxury to assume that these things are true. But for me, this was deadly. And I was building up really passionate feelings on things that I simply couldn't know to be true. These were certainly things no one had ever said to me. I was just putting together all the pieces. Again, maybe for a normal person, that's fine. But for me, these were dangerous. These were the ammunition that I was loading into a gun I was pointing at my own head. And when I was, you know, using those as a foundation for the resentment, I could see them start to dissolve when I realized, like, oh, I didn't know that these things were true. It was a lie for me to assume those things. There were countless ways that I tried to self-seek. you know, by trying to manipulate people, seek information, you know, gossip and judge from afar. And generally when it came to being frightened, it was that I wasn't going to get something that I wanted, or I was going to lose something that I had. So very important process, very powerful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Troy C with a T, Troy C from Florida, not to be confused with Roy C. Thank you so much, Troy, for your share. And next up we have Gail H, and then we will be able to take a couple more. So Gail H, go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Gail H from Seattle, Washington. Abstinent today by the grace of God and this program. Thank you all for the clarity that I continue to get and need from this program, the people in it. The share role modeling has been one of those areas that has just opened my eyes to what I need to see just for today as I get the grace from God to see it. And one of the things that I could feel for myself with this particular part of the big book is that I had a blind spot, and the victim in me was louder than anything else, as it should have been in my mind and my humanness. I started that way. And this program helps me to evolve into some level of adulthood and adulting. And, you know, I love what Bill says about being in spiritual kindergarten. And, you know, I feel like that has been a place of being, is spiritual kindergarten. And it was so believable in my mind with my mental disease of addiction that if you changed, I would be better. It was convincing. And the other day I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I was looking at cards. My husband has 50 years has died. And so I was looking at cards that he sent to me and I sent to him. And every single card had the most loving message. But in my blind spot, I wanted to hear the words. That's all I could see. And he couldn't do that. But what he did was spend hours at giving me these most beautiful cards. And my cards to him were, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so crappy all the time. And that was my human experience. So one of the things that this program helps me to see, and your clarity helps me, in my humanness, and, you know, I really did not know what it was to be a human being. I needed to get the symptoms of being human because somehow I needed to be above them or it wasn't okay in my mind. And yet here, you know, was this ability to see in an inventory way that, you know, yes, I was looking at not what was given to me, what I had, but what I thought I wanted to have. And it camouflaged what I was having in life. So, you know, again, a day at a time, there are revelations as a result of these
That's
steps.
That's time, Gail.
Thank you very much. Thank you for everything.
Thank you so much for sharing, Gail. That was Gail H. from Washington. All right. Before we take another couple names, I'll just ask that you limit your share to every third day, although we do value your experience, but we just want to hear others share their experience too. So I'll take two more people.
Cassie S.
Cassie S.
Sigrid F.
And Sigrid F. I think it was that Sigrid F as in Frank?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll go with that. Thank you so much. Let's start with Cassie S. Just go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Kathy F. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Germany, Berlin. And yeah, I'm not good on sharing really on literature, but I will have a try. I'm so grateful for working the fourth step, or that I worked the fourth step. Because in the end, my resentment, when I have a resentment also now, when I do my 10th step anyway, whenever I have resentments, and in the end, I'm blocked from myself, someone, from God. I have a resentment and I'm blocked from the selfishness, the dishonesty, everything that my mind is making up in my head. And in the end, I cannot be really my true self. And I'm so grateful that that inventory, every step is important, but the inventory really shows me who I truly am and what the problem is, what the real problem is with me and with dealing with other people. And I really, it was such a freeing step, such a freeing step. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to see things differently now, that I can be like a different person, a better person for others, for myself. I'm not perfect. I do mistakes, but I think I'm grateful. I can have a different view on other people now. I can have a different view on life. Just by doing this inventory, it is also painful, I saw like how I behaved towards other people and what was really my fault, why maybe relationships did not work out or what. It was also painful. It was painful, but in the end, it was good for me to see, okay, that was the problem. It's me, myself. I am the problem. I am the problem. And how I react to people and to other, to life and in general. Yeah. So I'm very grateful. And yeah, thank you for letting me share. I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Cassie S. from Berlin. And Cassie, was it Cassie or Kathy? All right, we'll just go with that. I think it was Cassie S. from Berlin.
Sorry, it's Cassie S. from Berlin, right? Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for sharing, Cassie S. from Berlin. All right, next up we have Sigrid F., and just take 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Sigrid F. I recovered in South Florida today. In the beginning, I remember hearing the words in the room, would you rather be right or do you want to be serene? And I had no serenity. I mean, the right answer for me was, heck yeah, I want to be serene. But I really also wanted to be right. And it took me a long time. It took me a while to figure out. There were some things that came out easy, like, oh, you just want to be right about this, but does it really matter? And I could put it aside. But it took time to realize how pervasive my need to be right was. And eventually I started tracing it to, for whatever reason, I guess in my house of origin, I thought that to be right meant I was safe in some way. Maybe I wasn't going to get yelled at or shamed. I don't know. But what I've really discovered through the fourth step process is freedom. And just maybe I don't know everything. When I started my first fourth step, I absolutely went into those first columns with self-righteousness and you know what? Sometimes I was right, to be honest. But where did that get me? How was that working for me? And it really wasn't. And I had to start looking at me. Where maybe had I done something? Or where maybe was it my perception of something and not even, the individual who said whatever, they said it in all innocence and I took it some different way because I didn't feel good enough or because or because the world should center around me, right? I'm also the director. But this step is so, oh my gosh, this is the path to finding serenity. This is the path. So for all you newcomers, if you're in chaos, be brave, be thorough, because this is the path and you can do it. If I can do it, believe me, anyone can. And I'll pass there.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Sigrid F. Appreciate all the shares today. We're going to go ahead and stop there with the sharing. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study in the following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, December 26, 2024, is 22025. That's 22025. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Marcia Z please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Good morning, Abby. Thanks for your service. This is Marcia Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Good morning, my friends in recovery. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...